Brian Shamote and doing Moses Adventures, and we're actually coming to the end of the Moses Adventures. But we left off in Shamote Shalashim Vashtim, I think, in 32, and it is when they built the golden calf, right? And we covered the Moses Matrix that I invented last year, the Moses Matrix of a man arguing with God in behalf of other people, not in behalf of his own self, but in behalf of other people. And this is what makes our Mashiach, our Messiah, a pattern after Moshe. Moshe is a type of Yeshua HaMashiach. And because he argued with God about destroying Israel, right? And so remember we said that the first argument he gave Hashem was your honor would be at stake. So he brings up the Lord's honor as a reason not to destroy Israel, because what would the nation say? And then he brought up the covenant that he reminded God that he swore to keep with the descendants of Yaakov inheriting the land. Okay? Now, so it is fascinating that the plan starts with the land, and the plan will end with the land once again. This, in these last days, it will be the land once again that the plan of God is brought forward with. As we have had the land restored and Jerusalem restored, and when we get the temple restored, then Mashiach will come back to the land that he promised Abraham, Yitzhak, VaYaakov, right? The Abrahamic covenant. And so the Lord changed his mind, remember? And if you look at my Moses Matrix or CD out there, there's several times in Scripture where God changes his mind. And so he can reverse his judgment if people will repent or somebody like Moshe will intercede. And so this is why we intercede for Israel, as I would like to say you all also with me, concerning the time of Jacob's trouble and the end of the 70th week of Daniel. Okay. So that they will not be so wiped out by Islam at the end there before Yeshua comes. All right, so I mentioned, remember in this text, it's interesting because God says to Moshe, your people have sinned. And then Moshe says back to God, it's your people, and it's your people. And then in the end, though, in the end of the text, it is God saying it's his people again. So you go from who wants these people, you know, and whose people are these? And when they're sinning, God says it's Moses' people. And then at the end, though, it goes back. And Moses, he argues and says, no, it's your people. And then at the end, it is God's people once again. And it is still the land that is in the context of the breed Abraham there. So it's fun to look at that. And remember, I mentioned that when you remind God of his covenant, it's not like he forgot. But what he really likes, and this is a way to pray, what he really likes is for you to remember it. And so when you quote it back to him, he then realizes that you know his word. And this is powerful. For a person to know the word and to speak it back is intercession to him, makes him happy. Somebody listened. Amen. Right? Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel. And Shema, all of you, hear. Hear and listen. And then repeat and teach always. Amen. And so this is a way to pray. Now, in our days, the Lord will be glorified. In these last days, there's many verses that say that the Lord will be glorified through Israel. Through the nation of Yisrael, the Lord in these last days will be glorified. And the kavod word, and glorified, when you say, I glorify you, Lord, you're saying, I honor you, Lord. The kavod word is an honor word, okay? And you all know it means weight, heavy, but as it's related to God, it is to honor. And so he will be honored through the nation of Israel soon in our days, but it begins here with Moshe bringing Israel out of Egypt just 40 days ago here in the text, by a Passover lamb. This is how it starts. And this is how it's going to end also. So the plan with the land starts with the lamb, and it's going to end with the lamb. And so Israel will be in the land, and then they will see the lamb, and that will end the plan. Are you getting it? It's the cold weather. It's not me. Amen. And so this lamb that is coming is the second Moses, standing in the gap for all sinful man, not just Israeli sinful man, but for all of us, Yeshua HaMashiach. And he will be glorified by Israel. First with the war. He comes back as the warrior, El Gabor, the mighty warrior of Isaiah 9:6, and then by the salvation of Israel. And those two will happen together. And in these two ways, he will be glorified in front of the whole world, all of the universe. But anyway, God turned from his wrath, and Moshe now turns away from God and goes back down the mountain. So this is here in starting with verse 15 of Exodus 32. He heads back down the mountain, and he has two stone tablets written by God. So this is the word of God he's carrying. So this, I got this picture when I was studying this, and in this next couple pages here, a guy could go for the rest of his life and hang out here. It's that good. It's just that good, because we're almost done with Moses' adventures, and the rest of it is all concerning the glory. And so we can just hang out there until the glory comes. Personally. Amen? You want to do that? Okay, but the word is approaching sinful man now as he comes down the mountain. And Moshe, what does he do? He shatters the stone tablets to pieces. Now, I would just say, without you stoning me about the shattering of these stone tablets, that this was a prophetic picture saying that the Moses covenant was never going to be the final answer in God's redemptive plan for man. It wasn't going to be the final answer. Before it's 40 days old, it gets shattered. Not by God. God did not shatter the tablets, but Moshe, representing sinful man, shatters the tablets. And I believe this is prophetically showing that there was not going to be the final answer in the plan of God coming from what is called the law. And because why? Because man ain't good enough. Man can't keep the law, and so there was going to have to be something else. Before these two tablets ever even reach sinful man, they are broken. And so this is what I feel that represents. Now, the second Moses, Yeshua, he broke the legal power of the law over sinful man. So the first man, Moses, breaks the tablets, the law, because of sinful man. The second Moses breaks the legal power of the law over sinful man by putting the law on himself, keeping it perfectly, and then dying as a perfect substitute. And this is Ephesians 2 and a lot of verses in the Brit Hadashah. So the legal power, because the law requires man to die for sin. And Yeshua, being perfect, then puts himself in our place. And so the first Moses breaks the law. The second Moses breaks its power over us so we can live. Amen? So it's a lot of fascinating patterns here, right? And instituted the Brit Hadashah, which gives us some hope, right? So now Moses grinds up the idol and made him drink golden water, which is probably poisonous and probably doesn't taste very good, but he ground it up and made the people drink it. If we go to verse 25, the people, it says, are running wild. Now in the Hebrew, that word is to be let loose. And so in the NIV, it's running wild, and And in some translations, it says it adds the word naked, but that word is not in the text. And it says that they became a laughingstock to their enemies. So here we have another situation. Whatever they were doing, Israel's enemies could tell that we can wipe these people out right now. So it's probably drunkenness, it's probably wildness, it's probably things that we don't want to talk about in church. Okay. So, but in 25, it shows not only have they sinned, but also that this wildness, whatever this wildness is, was about to get them all killed. And doesn't sin kind of do that? You participate in sin long enough and you just die from your sin. And so it was happening right here. So what can Moshe do to stop it? He goes to the entrance of the camp and says, whoever is for Yod Heh Vav Heh, come to me. Whoever is for Yod Heh Vav Heh, come to me. Now you got all of Israel in this wildness situation of some sort. Most of Israel, at least, is in this wildness. And this is important because this event now leads to Levi being chosen to be the people that would enter the presence of God. The Levites came to Moses at the entrance to the camp. Now, Moses and Aaron are both Levites, and so it was his own tribe people that came, and he gathers them to them, and they all came, and then God says, arm yourselves and kill the wild people. So they put on the swords. Remember, Israel's armed at this point because they got all the military equipment off of the Egyptians as they floated up on the bank after they got drowned. And so Israel is full of arms. Oh, man. And so now the Levites go out and kill fellow family members, fellow Israelites, 3,000. 3,000 people. Now I would say, how would they know which ones to kill? Well, I think they went to the golden calf. And the ones that were bowing down to it died. The ones that actually were doing the worshiping of this stupid idol were the ones they killed. But they killed 3,000 people. And I don't know, it doesn't say in the text, that's what the rabbis say. The ones that were actually bowing down were the ones that they struck down. Because not everybody, remember the whole celebration was to Yod Heh Vav Heh, as we talked about before. But the Lord's response to this, what are you going to do with the Levites that have gone and killed all these their own people? God's own people. What are you going to do with these people? Surely the ground will open up and swallow these people. God gives them a blessing. In the Hebrew, it just says a barukah. God blesses the Levites for killing the sinful man. We know last year, my whole year, I was in the Pinchas mode. You all know Pinchas, Phineas, the Phineas story. We started that with the 4th of July parade last year. That was same situation. Sinful man in the presence of God, and Pinchas takes his spear and sticks the two people on top of each other through and through and kills them both right there. And what did God do to Pinchas for such a barbaric thing? Gave him his own special covenant. How would you like to get your own special covenant? Hate sin, get covenant. Right? Now we're in the former covenant days here. We don't go shooting people now for sin. But how does God's heart feel about it? Calm down, you guys. Goodness, you're wild. Okay, the Lord's response, though, to the Levites, to give them the blessing, and we know what this blessing turns into. It is the blessing for this tribe alone. Out of all the 12 tribes, only the Levites will ever enter the presence of God. And that's the way it was. The Levi became the priesthood, and even the descendants of Aaron became the high priests and the ones that would go in the Mishkan themselves. Okay, so now, but this same idea comes up with Yeshua. Remember Yeshua, maybe I'll read this verse before I finish here. in Matthew, Esther, Matthew 10, remember Yeshua's word here? Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. That's the same concept here from the same God. And what does it really actually mean here, though, is that God comes first. It wasn't like God was saying you kill your family members. No, God comes first and then over sinful man. And so if you're like if you're raised in a family of sinful family, you must choose between that family and God. If you must choose between that family and God or whatever situation you're in, you have to put God first. That's all that whole teaching is about. And don't get carried away with that, but it's always been like that, including right here with the beginning of the nation of Israel and Moshe and the Levites killing 3,000. And you know that when the new covenant was instituted, there was 3,000 saved as a prophetic picture of the law brings death and the Spirit brings life, and the Spirit was poured out and 3,000 were saved. Okay, now Moses says in verse 30, I'm almost to a stopping spot here. Yeah, another half hour, it'd be fine. 45 minutes, then I'll go an hour. Okay, you win. All right, so where am I at here? 32, 30. We have, okay. And so there the Lord blessed the Levites. The next day Moshe said to the people, "You have committed a great sin. And I will go to the Lord, and perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." Okay? And so Moses is in the picture of Messiah, so this is what he does. And the Lord says, I will... this is Moses Matrix Part 2. Okay, this is cool. We're in the Moses Matrix Part 2. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold, but now please forgive their sin, but if not, then blot me out of your book." What kind of person is this? Can you say Messiah person? He says, these people have committed a great sin, but if you're not going to forgive them, take me out of your book. This is exactly what Yeshua did for us. Same exact thing. And you know what? Now Moses is not Yeshua. So God says, no, we're not going there because he is not Yeshua. But the text is the picture, right? The Lord replied, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go lead these people to the place I spoke of." Whoa. I will blot those people that sinned out of my book. Now go lead these people. What did he just say? I just forgave them. Right? I just forgave them. Moses said, blot me out then. And God says, they're forgiven. Now go lead them where? To the land again. It's always the land, right? Always have go to the land. All right, so we got a stopping spot here, I think. But there was a plague that came on them, and we don't know anything about this plague. And the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they had done with the calf Aaron had made. So even though your sin is forgiven, there are still consequences for sin. And that's the way it is in the church life too, which we don't like to talk about, most likely in most churches. But even though your sin is forgiven, there are still consequences for your sin. It's never blessed to sin. It's always better if you don't. Even though you're going to, it's better if you don't. And there's a blessing when you don't. And there's not a blessing when you do. And remember, as I teach about the millennium, which is not taught in the church, but everything you do today is going to be part of your life for 1,000 years. You will be judged according to your works. Christians are judged according to their works after they're saved. And their judgment releases the reward or lack of reward for 1,000 years in front of everybody. So here you are standing in front of all creation at the judgment seat of Messiah, and Messiah is opening his book, and he's all excited because he wants to bless you so much. And he's opening his book. Oh, yes, 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 your name. Yes, you, that's you. I cannot give you reward. Now you're standing over here in front of all creation, not being blessed. And then this person comes up and he's so excited. He goes, oh, goodness gracious, there's 2 pages here. There's so much reward for this person. Yes, that's such a great. And then, so he gives you all this reward and this person's going, like this, you know. More, yes. Now he's just now turning the page. More reward. And now, in Revelation, it says that they take their crowns, which is reward, and they offer it back to the Messiah. See? So this is the coolest thing in the world. The thought that now, in front of all the universe, you have gotten this blessing. Everything you ever did that blessed God is going to be there. And then, when the worship begins, you get to offer it back to him face to face. Now, remember the person that is saved, but there wasn't any reward. Now, there's this big event where the saints are going up and offering their reward back to him. And here's this person wishing he had some. I tell you, if the church would teach the millennial rewards, it would motivate them to be righteous. Right now in the church, you get born again, and that's yes, you're going to heaven. And that's it. So I'm not complaining, I'm just saying, I love the idea that the Bible says, he that comes to the Lord must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Reward is part of our faith, okay? Lack of reward, therefore, is part of our faith. So you want to have reward. Okay, so anyway, they did have a plague put on them here, and we can stop as we come to chapter 33, and this will be going into the Kavod, the great adventure here Moshe has, and the cloud coming down over the tent of meeting, and the favorite phrase in the world that we have is, and Moshe was panim la panim, face to face with Hashem, and he was not consumed. Still the burning bush, God and man together, but he was not consumed. But what happened to him? He started glowing. And I was starved. I remember one year we were going to the Toronto Airport Church, and I told Joan at the airport, I see these three ladies, and I told her, I go, those three ladies are going to get on our plane, you know. And she goes, now, how do you know that? And I go, they're glowing. They're going to Toronto Airport Church, same as us. And no. So we're up there, second day in Toronto. And I go, look, there they are, sitting behind us. And how did I know? Because their countenance. I mean, you get some God on you, you look different. You know, you can tell. People got the shine of God on them. And so we're still in this. Moshe started it, but we're in it today. We get this panim el panim. Panim is face in Hebrew. Face. And so you're face to face with God. You get some shine on you. And your eyes brighten. You get this countenance thing. I mean, you guys are different looking than anybody else. Well, thank you for putting up with me. May you all be face to face with God this week by the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it won't be long where we'll be face to face physically with our God. It won't be long. Yavarekaka Adonai Vayishmareka. Yeir Adonai Panavaleka Vihunaka. Yiso Adonai Panavaleka. Voyoseim Laka Shalom Bashem. Yeshua HaMashiach, Sarho Shalom, Amen. So the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and lift His countenance upon you and be so good to you and pour out blessings on you. Why? Because His face is on you and now you're shining and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah, Amen and Amen. Shabbat Shalom.